In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On the occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Well, it is great to be here with you tonight. We have just sung a line in that last song, "When the race is complete." And one race is almost now complete, the London Marathon. Is there anyone here who has run it today? I can't see everyone. Is that a no? Okay. I mean, fair enough. I really enjoyed this afternoon just walking around this corner of central London and seeing the runners with their, I'm sure you saw them too, with their medals on and, you know, sort of walking quite slowly and some in more pain than others, with their supporters who've been cheering them on, their friends and their family. And it got me thinking really about what these supporters have been doing over these last few hours. The fact is, there were 750,000 people who lined the streets of London today to cheer on friends and family. But actually, within that 750,000, you can imagine there were different groups of supporters, witnesses. So some would have been more passive observers. So they were just watching from afar, perhaps didn't know anyone who was running the race, maybe slightly detached. There would have been encouragers, those who were right sort of at the front, cheering and clapping and waving flags. And I saw people getting on the train this morning with bits of cardboard with their sort of relatives' names on them. And then there would have been participants who were right on the edge of the race. So they were handing out bottles of water and involved in different ways in the race. The point is this: everyone there was a witness to that race, but not all witnesses are the same. And we've just been singing about the goodness of God. We are all witnesses to the goodness of God in our lives. The question is, what kind of witness are we tomorrow, this week, in all the different contexts where we find ourselves in our lives? Because you and I have the opportunity to witness to God every day of our lives, and most of our time, for many of us, is spent at work. And just to reiterate what Sue was saying a little earlier, by work, we're thinking of work in the broadest possible sense. So you might be in paid work, you might be a student, you might be involved in voluntary work, housework. Thinking about it today, running marathons definitely counts as hard work. So it is work in the widest possible sense. So how are you doing at being a witness to Jesus in your work? I was really wrestling with this question in my 20s and 30s when I was working in business, because I realized that my life was becoming increasingly fragmented. So I was working hard, work was consuming me Monday through to Friday. Saturday was full of seeing friends and family and doing some sport and other things. And then Sunday was the day that I was doing God. Everything was neatly stored into one of these compartments. And it worked until it didn't. Because living that way creates a tension in us. It divides the sacred from the secular. It separates church from work and the work of the priest from the work of the people and Sundays from the rest of the week. And this is not how God sees your life or mine. He calls us to an integrated life with Jesus at the very center, so that all we do is both for him and with him. And I will often say to people, if you can be a faithful and fruitful disciple of Jesus in the workplace, you can be a faithful and fruitful disciple of Jesus almost anywhere, because work is one of the hardest contexts in which we live out our faith. And yes, ministers like Charlie, your vicar, and missionaries have a call from God, but I want to say to you tonight, so do you. Each one of you is called by God to live your lives for him and with him in your place of work through the relationships that you have. And we see a critical part of this call from God here in this first chapter of the book of Acts. So Jesus says in verse 8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we're not just witnesses to God's goodness when we're here together at All Souls or when we're in our fellowship groups on a Tuesday, but we are witnesses to Jesus at all times and in all places, including our work. And as you know, the author of the book of Acts, Luke, is writing these words as a follow-on from his gospel. He calls it in verse 1, as you can see, his former book. And if you were here at All Souls on Easter Sunday, you would have heard Chris Wright preaching on Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to come back to that very briefly at the end of this sermon. So there's this intentional overlap between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, not just because Luke was the author of both, but if you turn back to Luke's Gospel, so turn with me to page 1062 in your Bibles, Luke chapter 24. So Luke 24, verse 48, you see again this reference to witnesses. Jesus' call, you are witnesses of these things. And then we go on to read a little further on from verse 50 about the ascension of Jesus, which is, of course, also recorded in Acts 1. So the point I'm making is, in Luke's writing, both in his gospel and in the book of Acts, they're pointing forwards and backwards to one another. And we're going to do a bit of that as we journey through these next 15, 20 minutes together. In Acts 1, Luke writes in verse 3 about the many convincing proofs that Jesus is alive. His gospel records some of those accounts of Jesus' resurrection, of the people who witnessed and saw he was alive. 1 Corinthians 15, as you know, records the fact that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people at once. And just before Jesus' ascension, as we read here in Acts, he says to his disciples, "Wait in Jerusalem until," verse 4, "the gift his Father promised comes, the Holy Spirit." And the disciples then ask this question, which you can read there, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It is totally the wrong question. Jesus replies saying in verses 7 and 8, in essence, don't try and guess the timing. Wait to receive power from the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses. And then, verse 9, he's gone. He ascends to heaven. He was taken up, it says, before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Taken to heaven, the very presence of God. So these words, be my witnesses, are Jesus' last words on earth. And last words matter. Jesus chose these words intentionally as his last words. And so we need to listen to them carefully. And these words are a commissioning to his disciples, to you, to me, to all his people. Be my witnesses. And he uses, Luke uses this word witness in different forms between 30 and 40 times in the book of Acts. So it's a key word that's used. It's a key theme in the book of Acts. So we need to grapple with it to understand what does it mean for you and me as we live out our lives, particularly in the workplace. This word witness means quite literally to testify. It has legal implications. Now, I have only had one car accident in my life. I would say thankfully, but it didn't feel that way at the time. I was 17, and you may all be thinking, well, that's typical, 17-year-old male driver had an accident. It wasn't actually my fault. A car jumped the lights, went through a red light, drove right into the side of us, and my car span in circles and was a total write-off. Now, it was daytime, and I was very thankful that there were a number of witnesses there that day who were able to testify to the truth of what they saw. And that is what a witness does. They give an account, a first-hand account of what they have seen and heard and experienced. But it is absolutely crucial, particularly in that situation, that a witness speaks up. It would not have helped me at all had those witnesses just kept quiet, had been too intimidated to say something. Witnesses speak up. That is the very purpose of being a witness. They testify to what they've seen. And so as we think about what it means for us to be a witness in the workplace, we are to speak up, to give an account of what we have seen and heard and experienced in our lives of Jesus at work, Jesus's salvation in our lives, our testimony in part of what we have seen God do, as well as the bigger story of God's salvation. And the verb in the Greek to bear witness is this word, martyrio, from which we get the word martyr, the English word martyr. And that reminds us that there is a cost to being a witness. Now, in the context of work, for you, that may be pushing through your own sense of feeling embarrassed or intimidated to actually share and witness something of your faith in the context of work. It might be taking a risk to share your testimony with your colleagues or your boss at work. It might result in ridicule or mocking, maybe even one day persecution. And this is why Jesus says here in this passage, in 1 Acts, in verse 8, wait to the disciples. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, the good news here is that God has given us his Holy Spirit to be with us and to empower us as witnesses in the workplace. The bad news is you and I need all the help we can get. None of us feel fully qualified. I think I'm right in saying that, aren't I? We're all aware of our own sin, our frailty to witness adequately. But the Bible speaks, as you know, of power in weakness. And so we witness from a place of our own frailty so that people relate to us, pointing ultimately to God's goodness and to his glory. Now, to help us with some perspective here, it's important to remember that martyrdom was a reality for the early church. Peter was crucified for his faith, upside down. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross, hence St. Andrew's cross for the Scots here. James, son of Zebedee, was executed by sword. Bartholomew was flayed. I'm not even going to tell you what that means. It is grim. Matthew, Simon, Jude, Matthias were all martyred for their faith. And so in different forms, it is the cost of us being witnesses. But alongside martyrdom, the other theme that we see in the book of Acts is the explosive growth of the church. The church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's shaped by miracles and conversions, opposition and persecution. Stephen is martyred. The believers are scattered. The gospel spreads beyond Jerusalem. Saul is converted, which fuels the growth of the gospel. Peter has a vision. The gospel is for all nations, leading to the church embracing Gentiles. Paul then sets off on 1, 2, 3 missionary journeys. Churches are founded right across Asia Minor and Greece at the same time that opposition is increasing. And finally, Paul is arrested in Jerusalem. He's imprisoned, but crucially, he keeps on witnessing to Jesus. In spite of being shipwrecked, and finally going under house arrest in Rome. Rome, the very center of the empire from which the gospel goes global. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Acts 1 verse 8 is the roadmap. It's the summary of the whole story of the book of Acts. And it begins with this mandate, be my witnesses. So what does it look like for you and me to be a witness in our workplace? I want to try and make this really tangible for you for tomorrow. Most people tend to think about evangelism. And of course, that is a key part of the answer. But I want to say to you tonight, you also witness to Jesus through your godly character. As you are rooted in Christ's peace, as you face pressure and looming deadlines at work. You witness to Jesus as you commit to doing the best job you can, working first and foremost for the Lord. You witness as you show grace and love to your colleagues around you who are facing challenges in their own lives and battles in different forms. You witness as you stand up for truth and justice in your place of work, as you mold the culture. And of course, you witness to Jesus as you speak up, giving a reason for the hope that you have, sharing the good news of Jesus. So having looked ahead in the book of Acts, what I want to do now, and I need to ask for forgiveness from Charlie, your rector, for doing this, is I want us just to look back a bit to the very end of Luke's gospel to help give you a little framework that I hope, is going to really equip you as you think about what it's going to look like to be a witness in the workplace. So turn with me back to Luke 24, to the road to Emmaus. And again, you heard a sermon on this from Chris, so I'm not going to give you another sermon. But I just want to remind you, you'll have that story fresh in your minds from Easter Sunday. Jesus has been crucified, he's risen on the third day, and as two of his disciples are walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus meets with them on the road. Luke chapter 24, from verse 13 onwards. The first thing we see here is that Jesus is present with people. He meets these disciples where they were, on the road to Emmaus. He gets involved in their lives in the place where they were. It's really important to remember that our colleagues are not an evangelistic project, but they are people who God has made in his image, people who we are called to live alongside and love and get to know. So part of what it means to witness at work is actually building a relationship and a friendship with your colleagues, walking with them in their journey of life, listening to them, taking time to grow those relationships. So I want to ask you, who might God be prompting you tonight to be really present with this week? Try and go beyond that transactional nature of work to a much deeper relational level. Be present with people at work. Secondly, be curious in conversation. Jesus asks questions to these men on the road to Emmaus. What are you discussing together? What things happen in Jerusalem? Why didn't the Messiah have to suffer and then enter his glory? Jesus knows the answer to these questions, but he's trying to take these men on a journey from disappointment to hope. And a good way to witness at work is to be curious in conversation. Ask your colleagues about the joys and challenges they're facing, yes, in their work, but beyond that, in their family lives, with their friends, with their health. We grow far more, as you know, in relationship by asking questions than we do by talking at people. And remember that everyone is facing a battle. Everyone you know, everyone you deal with in your work has got something challenging going on in their lives. So love them by being curious and getting to know them in the workplace. And then finally, be ready with reasons. We read in Luke 24, verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explains what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. He then stays with the disciples. They eat together. Their eyes are open and they say, "Weren't our hearts burning as he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures?" We need to be ready with reasons to share God's story in scripture, but also God's story in your life, your testimony of what God is doing in and through you at the moment, to testify about that first-hand experience you have had of being saved by Jesus, of being given peace in your life through Christ, about being guided. You get the point, all the different ways in which the Lord is at work in your life. So be ready with reasons. Give the reason for the hope that you have. So I really hope this little framework helps equip you as you think about what it means to witness in the workplace. Be present with people, be curious in conversation, and be ready with reasons. I want to finish with this. Our nation is changing. We read about it, we sense it, we have been told about it through much writing around the quiet revival. Whatever the statistics are or are not, our nation is changing. New atheism is declining. Instability continues in our world that unsettles the people that you work with, who are asking more and more questions about life and death and meaning and significance. And they want to know why it is that you have a peace about you. They want to know why it is that you perhaps are more hopeful than some of the other colleagues that you're working with. They want to know more about what it is that Scripture says that equips you in your life and guides you. And so our call as the church is to reveal Jesus to this world, to witness to him and to his good news. And we need to declare it with a renewed boldness and vigor now more than ever, because the ground is fertile. And so, All Souls, I want to say to you in closing, be bold. Be bold this week as you go out into the world again and witness to Jesus. The Spirit of God is with you, and he will empower you as you step out in faith, as you live distinctively for Jesus, and as you witness to him in your lives for his glory. Amen. Let's pray together, and then we're going to stand and sing one final song. And I'd love to pray for you, as I did this morning for the congregations, using these words of Joshua, in the book of Joshua, that the Lord speaks to him. And I just encourage you, first of all, to hear these words, and then I'm going to pray for you. So in Joshua 1:9, we read this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so, Father, I pray for each person here tonight. Thank you for all of the places that they represent through their work and each of their front lines. Thank you for the relationships that they uniquely are involved in. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would strengthen each person here. Give them courage as they witness to you this week in their place of work, in their friendships and families. Lord, we pray that you would remove fear from us, discouragement from us, and that you would assure us of your presence, that overarching great promise of Scripture that you are Emmanuel, God with us by your Spirit, wherever we go. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.